Welcome to Intuitive Bites Podcast. I'm your host, Kirsten Ackerman, the Intuitive RD. I'm a non-diet registered dietitian and intuitive eating coach. My mission is to help women recover from diet culture and heal their relationship to food and body. Follow along as I speak with leading professionals in the field and explore concepts of intuitive eating, health at every size, and body liberation. Hey guys, welcome to episode 176 of Intuitive Bites. Today I'm chatting with Emily Krause and Hannah Thompson from The Upbeat Dietitians. And we're talking all about how weight neutral care doesn't mean that we don't ever talk about your weight concerns. So we're going to dive into the ways that we do address your weight concerns in session together to give you more insight into this. Because I think a lot of people who are considering seeking out intuitive eating support are hesitant to do so because they still want to lose weight, right? It's not always easy to just like shove that aside when it feels like it's at the forefront of your mind. And maybe at the forefront of your mind as well is the fact that you know you've been on all of the diets. It never works. It always leads to the backlash and rebellion and the yo-yoing of your weight. And also you don't know how to set aside your weight. So if that's kind of where you're at, I think this episode is going to be really helpful for you to just have more insight into how we approach weight concerns in session together. Before we dive into that, I want to let you guys know that I have a brand new free masterclass coming on May 6th, and this is the Stop Obsessing Over Food masterclass. So if you have not already registered, I'm going to leave the link below this episode so you can do so, or you can always go over to my Instagram at @theintuitive_RD and register at the link in my bio. All right, guys, let's go ahead and listen into my conversation with Emily and Hannah. All right. Welcome, Emily and Hannah. I'm so glad that you are here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, we're so excited to be here.
Of course. So yeah, let's start off. I don't often have two guests on at the same time, so I'm going to try to navigate this, but I'd love to have just each of you share a little bit about yourselves and the work you do. So whoever wants to start us off.
I can start. I was thinking how weird it felt for us, Emily, to be on the not hosting side. So I can really push into like feeling a little like out of my element today.
Yes.
But I love it. I'm very excited. Well, my name is Hannah. I am half of the Upbeat Dietitians. I am a dietitian and a personal trainer. I actually started out working as a weight loss and bariatric dietitian, funnily enough, mm-hmm. which we discussed with Kirsten on our podcast, talking about bariatric surgery and sort of that transition there. Emily and I, at the beginning of our work together on our podcast, we can discuss more, I guess, in a second when Emily gets her intro. We both were kind of in this weird wishy-washy area of like being kind of weight lossy and like kind of haze. Thankfully, we have really grown into like what we like actually want to be doing as dietitians. And we now both practice much more as weight neutral, haze aligned dietitians. So that's what we're doing currently.
Amazing. Yeah. Good to hear. Yeah. Go ahead, Emily. Give a little of your background.
My current background is by day, I am a renal dietitian. And then by night, I do all things non-diet dietitian, like with the podcast with Hannah, a lot of like social media stuff on YouTube, kind of exploring that a little bit more. And then that's kind of It's a lot of dietitian stuff, but
yeah, day and night, like amazing.
Yeah.
You guys do an amazing job with like your social media and your podcast. I didn't know you were on YouTube. Well, actually I did know that because you sent the video from our recording right over to YouTube. But it's mm-hmm. amazing to see what you guys are doing.
Oh, well, thanks. Also, we have fun. We really like have grown into like the social media side of it and really found a love for it, which is, it's fun.
So yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's definitely has been my experience. I mean, it's first of all, very funny because Hannah, you have the background of bariatric surgery. After I left the bariatric surgery space, because I was like, I can't do that. Like ethically, it wasn't working for me. I went into dialysis.
I remembered you mentioning this on our episode, but it was like such a like
brief.
We were talking about bariatric surgery. So like that was our main
yeah. topic.
But I remember I was like, oh my gosh.
How funny. Like just like a blend of yeah. two backgrounds. Very funny.
Yep.
And then I went into the eating disorder space, and yeah, and the rest is history. But what I was gonna say is, yeah, like I around like the 2016 time was like when I was at the bariatric surgery clinic, and I was starting to dive into intuitive eating and haze, and like started my Instagram account mostly just because I was like, I want to talk about these things, and I want to like say things, and I want to connect with other people that are saying like talking about this stuff. And yeah, I just like kind of fell in love with the Instagram community at that time. It has changed so much since 2016, and I feel like there's just like, yeah, whole new ways of navigating social media at this point.
It's
Social
changed so
media is a
much. Emily and I
lot.
always joke to our listeners, like, whatever you do, do not go back and listen to our first few episodes because we are different people in those. We had no idea what we were doing. And that applies to all platforms everywhere, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Totally agree. I don't necessarily tell people don't go listen, but like if I listen to episode one of Intuit Advice, I'm like, I was just like trying to figure it out. Like I don't,
Yep.
I was like such a fresh little dietitian, like just didn't know what I was doing. So I feel like I should go back to listen, but also I think I would cringe.
We had to re-record our first episode because it was that bad.
Oh my gosh. I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine I'd feel
Yeah, but
the
yeah, that's okay. It shows your growth.
It does. Yes, it's a good check-in, good reflection. All right, so let's get into the topic of today. So I was scrolling on your feed and I found a post basically where you said, I think I have the quote here, but like weight neutral care does not mean that we don't ever talk about your weight concerns. And I just that stuck out to me because I feel like on discovery calls, I'm always kind of fielding this question of like, I'm interested in doing intuitive eating work, but like, you know, but I still want to lose weight. And like, is does that mean that like, you know, we wouldn't be a good fit? And that's a big question. But I think in general, this idea that like it's not as though we're never going to talk about the fact that you're really wanting to lose weight and kind of open that up a little bit more. So I guess I would just like to hear from you guys like what your take on that was or like what you meant by that.
Yeah, I think that is a big misunderstanding of like what weight neutral care is. It's like we never discuss the number on the scale ever again. Like you just don't even get to like be concerned about your weight or think about it or talk about it. That's just not the case.
Right.
I can't recall what episode we had talked about that in with that exact quote. I wish I could remember too. But we discussed that a lot on our podcast that like even though we're not, pursuing intentional weight loss, it makes so much sense that you would feel like your life would be better and easier in a smaller body. And in a lot of ways, it probably would be a lot easier. Like you could find clothes that fit you, you'd be treated differently. We actually just watched the Oprah like Ozempic special or whatever, and we're watching like all the different guests she had on.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guests were saying, like, now that I'm smaller, people treat me differently. And like my kids are treated better now, even too. So there are so many reasons why you might feel like weight loss and being in a smaller body would be a good thing. And so our work as weight neutral dietitians now, instead of, giving all the tips and tricks on how to actually get into that smaller body, it's us unpacking why you feel that way and
Yes.
just giving you a place to feel those feelings. 'Cause again, it's totally normal and it makes sense why you would feel like weight loss is the right thing to pursue,
Right. Yeah, it's valid, right? And then like that,
Exactly.
yeah. No, I love how you phrased all of that. And yeah, it's like turning away from it and saying, nope, that's a bad thought. You can't have that thought. Like, we're never gonna say that. Like it's a valid, understandable thought to have, and it serves you in your healing process to bring those concerns to the light and talk about it. And what I talk about a lot with the clients I work with is like, let's talk about like the pieces of this that like maybe would only be available to you if you did really snap your fingers and were in a smaller body. And let's talk about the pieces to this that maybe are not actually exclusive to being in a smaller body that you've learned that they're tied together and you can only have more comfort in your body. You can only have more ease. You can only run if you lose weight, right? And let's talk about like those as kind of two separate things. But Emily, anything in particular to add to this?
I feel like this is such a like stereotypical like Hayes intuitive eating answer that's like just been like circulating for so long, but like also just like trying to remove like trying to navigate care in a weight centric world is like one of the biggest things we talk about a lot, like just trying to not make every single thing in life about weight. Like when we talk about weight neutral, it's not like we're going to ignore it completely and just disregard it, but we also don't want it to. We talk a lot about like how so many times people go to like the doctor or like have like any chronic condition going on, and weight always comes up where it's like, you'll probably like, I feel like for whatever reason on our podcast, we always bring up like how things miraculously cure depression. So like, that's the first example that comes to my mind, like losing weight will probably cure your depression. Like just kind of trying to combat that side of it because there's just so much of it, like in the healthcare world. And then we're just seeing it so much, especially from like a dietitian's perspective, where typically people think dietitians are only correlated with weight loss. Just trying to remove that component, like not make everything about it, but still acknowledge like what Hannah said, like, of course, like it makes sense to want to feel accepted and for people to treat you nicer. That's not something unreasonable to ask for.
100%. Yeah. There are very real differences that like, a smaller body can bring for some people. But yeah, I've recently started actually doing more like insurance-based work, which I wasn't doing for a while. Like I had been only doing private pay, primarily, I should say. And now I'm doing a lot more insurance. And what is that's bringing is it's bringing back to the forefront of my mind, again, how much people kind of expect to come to a dietitian and get a meal plan, but also expect you to like help them lose weight, right? It's just like kind of goes hand in hand. And like, I feel like I was very much removed from that world for such a long time because I was in my little like niche space of people just coming to me knowing like, hey, we're not going to prioritize like intentional weight loss. And yeah, I'm just like it coming. Yeah. It's very shocking, I guess, to see how much that is still, you know, very tied together. So what are some of the ways, I feel like we've already mentioned some, that we can explore weight concerns without focusing on intentional weight loss? Like, what is that going to look like, I guess, with a client?
So I feel like the classic non-scale victories we have to bring up.
We love
that. It's like at this point, like you have to expect it coming up.
Yeah.
when we talk about like behavioral changes. So like weight loss is not a behavior change. It's an outcome. Yes. Want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah.
But like we can look at like lab values, your like energy levels, like your mood, like your mental health plays a huge part as well. Sleep is a huge part component as well. Is that like things like that? The classic non-scale victories. I feel like people might be sick of hearing, but they're important to focus on because they might be better indicators of what those behavioral changes are doing.
Yes.
Compared to changes in body composition or weight.
I have to say something to the term non-scale victories though, because I kind of cringe at it because I feel like a lot of times when I hear clients talking about it, it's like my clothes are fitting better or like, whatever. It's some other measure of their body actually.
That's being of shrinking their body. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
I wish we had a more like weight neutral aligned term.
Right.
We need a new one. Like
take for ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Like I get what you're saying, but I'm just like, but not the way that like I hear
you
about it.
That's such a good point.
Yes.
Yes.
I would add that I think like when the question is like, how do we address weight concerns? Again, like now we are no longer like as weight neutral dietitians, like giving the tips and tricks on how to lose weight. We're unpacking like where these concerns come from, like these big giant systemic issues at hand that are making you feel the way you feel about your weight. And something I've been kind of getting more okay with myself as a practitioner is like, we don't always need to solve every problem and concern. Sometimes like you're not gonna like your body all the time, and that's just how it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be helpful to hopefully unpack that. I think therapy could be a great thing to pursue if that's something you want to like look more into. But sometimes like it's just gonna suck, and it's okay to just like sit in the suck sometimes and not always try to fix everything. I've been telling patients a lot too lately, like your body is not this construction project you always need to be working on. Like it's okay to just be sometimes, and it's it doesn't take away from the concerns you might have or invalidate how you're feeling. It's just sometimes it's going to suck. And it's a lot of times not going to be because of you or your body being the problem. But once again, these big issues at hand that are making you feel the way you are, AKA good old diet culture.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What I wrote down as you were first talking there is like shifting the blame, I feel like can be so powerful for clients, from like, my body's the problem. My body's not fitting in these clothes. My body's too tight. My body isn't feeling good on this mode of transportation, whatever it might be. Or even things like specific things like cellulite, or I have more belly fat as, you know, you're getting towards menopause, like all of these things that can come up that are actually totally normal. And shifting the blame off of yourself and your body to the culture. And just like all of this conditioning that we have had.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I like that idea of like, yeah, your body's not a construction site, or however you phrase it. And like being okay with like too, like it's okay to be in a place with your body where you don't love how you look, right? Like where you don't, when you look in the mirror and you have negative feelings coming up, and like, can you actually find acceptance for where you are at in your relationship with your body right now without trying to change that all the time, right? Not to say don't try to find more peacefulness and more neutrality. Obviously that's exactly what we're working on with clients too, but also like leaving that space to just like be, and not have to have it be positive and perfect and whatever, which is really hard, right? Obviously when you're experiencing distress, like you just want to alleviate that. Like it's natural to want that. But yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said for just like more acceptance for where you are.
Exactly.
So some other things I jotted down as I was thinking about like ways that I explore weight concerns with clients, you know, one big one is kind of like getting down to the root of what is underneath that desire for weight loss for you, right? Certainly, again, a lot of these things we've talked about of like just wanting to fit into our society better and travel and go into a store and buy clothes and things like that. But I think it also can be about like, hey, if I lose weight, I'll feel more comfortable dating, or I'll be able to find a partner, or I will have better lab values, or like my health will be better, or I'll be able to go on a random hike with somebody, or chase around my kids, or be a good example for my kids. Like there are so many motivations behind when somebody says, I want to lose X number of pounds. Like, can you help me lose X number of pounds? And it's like, but let's talk about what that means for you, what that means to you, and how we might be able to help you achieve that without having weight even be on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so tricky. It's, and I want to mention this earlier too, but I think a big, maybe barrier that sometimes patients and clients might have with someone who looks like me, for example, is I don't have that struggle myself. And so, you know, I can say all these things about how your weight is the most important thing to worry about. Like, it's okay. Just be yourself, love your body. And I mean those things when I say them, but it, I'm sure is really hard to fully grasp and absorb when you have a larger body. And so once again, like your feelings about your body not being right, or how it'd be easier if you lost weight, it makes total sense that you would feel that way. And that's why I'm so big on, especially lately on our podcast, especially too, we're always talking about like other creators you could follow who talk about similar things as us, but they look different. They look more like you. You might feel more heard and more understood by someone like that saying those types of things.
100%. I mean, I hear that so often from folks that I've worked with that, I've either like sent them to work with somebody else that like is in a larger body and kind of shared a similar lived experience. And like, it can be a really powerful shift, right? Like it's true. Like, on certain aspects of the work, like just being able to like sit with somebody who is a professional in this space that has, again, closer to your lived experience, like that can be a powerful, a powerful shift for people. So I'm glad you're bringing that up.
And I think a big part of it too, what I can talk about as someone in a smaller body is the stats of how just like intentional weight loss doesn't usually work out in the long term. So I think that helps paint the picture of why we don't recommend pursuing that. Just talking about, you know, all the things that we three know, just how it tends to lead to weight regain. And we have the risk of disordered eating and eating disorders when we are pursuing intentional weight loss. So even if your body would be quote unquote healthier if you, let's say, lost 20 pounds,
yep,
the risk associated with getting there might outweigh the pros of you being in that smaller body.
Right.
Like it's no longer healthy if while you're on this journey of health being in quotes,
yeah,
you develop disordered eating along the way.
Exactly. Right. And if the end result of a pursuit of weight loss is usually long-term weight gain, then it wouldn't make sense, even if weight loss was a supportive thing. So yeah, that's definitely a good point. Okay. So another thought on all of this, like, what if a client comes to you and they feel like, and I feel like we've touched on this, but like, if a client feels like, hey, I truly do need to lose weight. Like, it's not about body image. It's not about looking really cute in a bikini or whatever, anything like that. But my doctor's telling me I need to lose weight. And like, I know that I'd feel more comfortable in my body if I did. What would your words of advice be to that person? Emily, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I think like what you said with the last question was like really just kind of diving into like the root cause of it. Oftentimes it's a side effect of living in a diet culture invested world, in a world where thin privilege is incredibly prevalent. Anytime though people do have these thoughts, I always encourage them to work with a therapist. I feel like there's such a strong, like, before we even like make any dietary changes or like want to talk about that, making sure there is like a mental health professional involved, because there is such a strong mental health component to this. Like, so many times I've seen, and like, I know this is kind of like a joke where it like becomes like dietitians become therapists at times, because half the time we don't even talk about nutrition. We're just trying to talk about like your feelings and like what is going on.
Yeah.
What makes you say this? But just having that component of it as well. So like making sure they have a therapist or they've talked to someone about this, because I want to make sure that side is covered.
Yes.
But then also, I think just like really diving into like what is making you feel this way. And then like maybe not focusing so much on like what, like you say you need to lose weight to become healthier. Like, what specifically do you deem unhealthy? And like, maybe we can make dietary changes that could affect those components. Exactly. And your weight might not change. That's like something that is unfortunately a very hard truth to accept, is like sometimes like you'll make changes and you'll lose weight. Sometimes you might make changes, you might gain weight. Like if you're chronically under eating, your body's in a constant state of stress, like weight changes might happen, but maybe not in the way you think. So like, I think just the root cause, figuring out that maybe some changes that could be a little bit more geared toward the non body image or whatever issues they're actually concerned about. And then I think a therapist is very important.
Yeah, I love that recommendation. Whenever somebody's on a discovery call with me and they tell me they're already in therapy, I'm like jumping for joy. Woo-hoo! That is so, so good. Like, the more support, the better. And like, too, like when we're talking about like disordered eating behaviors and things like that, like if we just dive in and we're like, okay, just like stop all these disordered behaviors on food, first of all, like, there's going to be a lot of resistance to that. Like, if those behaviors are serving them and are acting as a coping skill for something deeper. And most of the time that is the case. So we need like that, those support systems in place, or it's really nice to have those support systems in place to really dive into this work.
Yeah.
Cool. So I feel like we've given all the advice to this person listening who resonates, but any final pieces of advice that you really want the person who's listening to this to hear, if they are like, this is totally me. Like, I want to do intuitive eating. I want to heal my relationship with food, but I still have these weight concerns weighing on me. Final thoughts for that person.
I think I would emphasize what I said earlier about how, I guess, first of all, your feelings are valid. Like, it makes sense you feel this way. And also, again, it makes sense you feel this way. Like, in the world we live in, it is so weight centric. Thinner is prettier, better, can get clothes easier. So I definitely would reemphasize that. And I would also bring up that, oh shoot, you were taught this about your body is what I was trying to get at. Like the way that you dislike how your body looks, or like how you feel like you need to weigh less. Like you were not born disliking your body. Like we all have seen babies like obsessed with their little toes and their cute little rolls. Like babies like love themselves. And then we get taught, just because of generational dieting, diet culture, all the things that are entailed with that, that our body is wrong and the problem. Mm-hmm. And so since we are taught that, the good thing is we can unlearn that and sort of like restructure how we feel about our body and think about our body. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm not saying you always need to be pursuing that like positive mindset, body positivity. Like sometimes it's just going to suck, but it is, I think, hopefully good to know that if you are sort of in that wishy-washy area of like, okay, I like want to do this intuitive eating thing. I want to stop hating my body, but I'm not quite sure if I can. You can. Like you were taught that your body is wrong, but you can also be taught that your body's not the problem.
Yep. Love that.
Yeah.
Took me a minute to get to that thought, but
but we are glad that
here we go.
Glad you made it to it.
Jeez, there we go.
Emily, final thoughts.
I think I don't even think we talked about this really at all, but my like lasting thought would be like social media is a very powerful tool. Mm-hmm. I would challenge you to follow people that don't look like you or do look like you. Like, and I'm talking about like race, body size. We can go to like sexual orientation, religion, like mm-hmm. social media has like brought us together. Mm-hmm. Like create, how fun is that? Right. But then it also has, there are so many it's so easy to compare yourself to people online. The access we have to people all around the world is like kind of insane. Mm-hmm. And we're like in a very technology heavy century, like right now, mm-hmm. where people are spending a lot of time on their phones and you're constantly observing people. Mm-hmm. So especially from like a weight concern standpoint, I'm trying to remember what episode it was, Hannah, where we tagged all the like fat activists to follow.
It was recently.
I can link it.
Yeah, we'll let you know. But it is one thing to just see like all these like thin girls on your feed, and like the algorithm knows mm-hmm. what you like. If you like it, it knows your brain better than you know your brain sometimes, which is kind of scary. But following a diverse group of people mm-hmm. and seeing what their lives are about, and especially people who are like don't look like us, it might be a little bit easier to actually like believe what we're saying. But from there, like we should not be at the forefront of the body positivity movement. We should not at all be there.
100%.
There are a lot of really great people out there fighting the good fight, the actual good fight, not the fight against quote unquote obesity.
Right.
Exactly. The epidemic.
Yeah.
But I would say that's my biggest challenge is just like the social media component, I think like takes a really big hit on people.
And it can be, yeah, like you said, it can be that powerful tool if you're like intentional with it. So I think that's a great mm-hmm. point to wrap up with. So can you guys please share where people can find you online, and do you have any particular offerings for people? Let us know.
The best place to find us together is The Upbeat Dietitians. You can find us on our main website, which is theupbeatdietitians.com. And of course, from there, you can find all of our podcast episodes as well as our social medias. That is the best way to listen to us together. But to toot my own horn, you can find me at Dietitian Hannah on all the different platforms, including YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. I have a membership site currently all about ditching the diets, intuitive eating, a great place for community and just, I sort of call it like a grab bag of like intuitive eating information. I have like live trainings and I call them sound bites, like little private podcasts. So that is the best way to work with me individually, is on a membership.
That sounds so fun. Thank you, Hannah. Mm-hmm.
I will note the Upbeat Dietitians is spelled with like beet, like the vegetables. So might be a little bit hard to find us. So make sure you search BEET. If you want to find me at any of my personal stuff, though, I'm mostly on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok if I'm feeling like it. Dietitian EMK. I'm mostly doing social media right now, but I feel like that's plenty.
You go through your like anti-Instagram stages, which I
love. I'm very on and off with Instagram. So far, YouTube's the only one that hasn't let me down. So it's probably best to go there first.
Well, I need to get over on that platform. Maybe in 2025, we'll see. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks again so much for hanging out tonight.
Yay. Thanks so much for having us. This was fun.
All right, guys, that is a wrap on episode 176 with Emily and Hannah. Don't forget to go follow them over on Instagram at The Upbeat Dietitians. Beet is spelled BEET, as in the vegetable. And also just a final reminder to get registered for my next free masterclass, Stop Obsessing Over Food. That's going to be happening on May 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can register at the link below this episode or over on my Instagram at TheIntuitive_RD. All right, guys, I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.